Father, what is so neat is you. And I love you. And we just thank you for loving us first. Lord, I pray that today we would see from your perspective. We would see through your eyes, with your eyes, with your heart. We ask that you would open up the word, but Lord, I just ask that today, we're not asking you to come down. We're asking you to lift us up into heavenly places and help us to have an overview and see what you see, the way you see it. And that we could then begin to get your heart, even for others. Thank you, Jesus. I'm asking you to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves.
Yes.
Help us to be aware of our inability, that we could have more of you, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. Thank you, Jesus. So Romans 6:23a, for the wages of sin is death. A wage is something that it's like what you earn, okay? If you work for somebody and they pay you $10 an hour wage, that means you earn $10 for every hour you supposedly work. Well, I had guys that, when I ran a 70-man shop, I said, did you want to get a full paycheck? Why don't you put in a full day's work, you know? I said, just because you punch the clock doesn't mean that you're working, you know? But the wages of sin is death. The reason I asked God this morning to lift you up, to lift us up to heavenly places is because that's what God has done with me a number of times, and it's like I'm sitting in heaven or standing there. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm with God, and it's like I'm looking out over creation, but I'm looking out like over time, and I'm seeing people, and it's like I'm seeing them through His eyes, and I'm realizing the whole bigger picture. We get caught up. Don't we get caught up in everyday life, all the details, all the, you know, like my wife says, why do we got to keep washing dishes and cooking meals? And all, she says, it's so easy to get caught up in all this mundane, you know, what you have to do every week, every day to be alive. And we get caught up in that. So I ask God to open our eyes and help us to see, to lift us up to His perspective, and to oversee the whole picture. If you can oversee the whole picture, when we can see this picture, it makes everything different. It's like you go, that's not worth getting upset about. That's, I mean, people cutting you off in traffic and all those things that we say and things we flag at them, you know. What I'm saying is, you know, in those words like that have come out of my mouth, it's my road, I let you drive on it, would you move over? You know? Like, we don't, I mean, let's get real. I mean, I'm talking about this real Christianity here, you know? We're not like just speaking into the ideal, okay? But what I'm saying is when He lifts me up and I'm looking at things from His perspective, it's like it's not worth getting upset about. It's not worth spending time on some things. It's like something's trying to distract me or draw me, and I go, I'm not leaving this to go do that. You know what I mean? I'm not leaving Jesus in His presence. That's only temporary satisfaction or enjoyment or pleasure or whatever, you know what I mean? And a lot of times it's not even that. It's just something that we think. So we need to see from His perspective. Does this make sense to anybody in here?
Yes.
Do you want that?
Yes.
Okay, right now, let's tell Him. Father, I want to see from Your perspective. Would you please lift me up and help me to see through your eyes? Help me to see the whole overall plan, to see what you see, to see others through your eyes, to realize how way above it is to live in the Spirit and to live surrendered, yielded to you, Father, and to lay my life down for others, to allow you to do whatever you want to reach others through me. I want to see through your eyes. I want to see from your perspective. I'm asking you to do in me what I can't do for myself. Thank you that you desire it more than I do. I ask you to do it, whatever it takes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Romans 6:23a, for the wages of sin is death. When you're going to talk to somebody about the Lord, I'm going to give you a 3-point outline, then a 4-point, and then a 5-point. I'm going to give you 3 different outlines, but they're all the same thing, just you'll see it as we do it, okay? The first 3-point, the 3-point outline, you ready? When you go to talk to somebody about Jesus, about knowing Jesus, about having Jesus, about receiving eternal life, 3 things: sin, self, Savior. Sin, self, Savior. Sin, it's bad, and I got it. Self, I can't quit doing it. I need a Savior. His name's Jesus. Do you see how simple it is? It's so easy to witness to somebody. It's so easy. I'm giving you these outlines. I want you to memorize them for your own sake. Let me tell you why. When I go to talk to somebody, these things just flow in me. They just it's so simple. It's like first thing we have to deal with is sin. Because if somebody doesn't realize or admit they have sin, you can't do anything with them. That's why we started with Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Remember, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seek after God. They are altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Because somebody has to see that. Now, the first thing, really, that you want them to see is that God loves them. So I hope you've told them that right up front. Not just walk up to them and slap them in the face. Hey, you're a sinner going to hell. People don't, they don't really need you to do that. What they first need to know is God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And it's like they go, uh-huh. But they don't know what that means because you see in America, have you ever seen a bumper sticker and it says, I heart my chihuahua? They think that means love. You know, and somebody says, I love you, and then they divorce you. Somebody says, I love you, and then they stab you in the back. Somebody says, I love you, and then they talk about you. See, there's many different kinds of love, okay? And in the Greek, they had different words for love. Well, when we say, when God says, I love you, he means I agape you, which means I unconditionally love you. I love you when you're at your worst. I love you when you're not thinking about me. I love you when you don't care about me. I love you when you're completely selfish. I love you if you're hurting, maiming, raping somebody. I love you. See, God loves us unconditionally. He doesn't love us based on what we do. He loves us for who we are. She can't help it. She heard it was witnessing class, and she just thought it's time to witness, you know? She's full and letting it flow. Wah, wah, wah. I see it. I know how you feel. I got it inside too. That's what I used to get in trouble in class. Always talking when the teacher was talking. You know, I got it. You go. That's right. Yeah. Number one, people do need to know, and we'll go to that. We'll do that. I think that's the 4-point outline. And I'm going to do that. I know it. I love it. Don't you? Four-point outline. You ready?
Yep.
Wait a minute. What's a 3-point outline without reading it?
Sin, self, Savior.
Do you see how simple that is? But we've got to deal with that. Now, some people think that people get saved just by telling them that God loves them and do you want Jesus? No. You've got to realize you got sin and you're the one who nailed him to the cross. Okay, it's your sin that had to be paid for. Okay, so sin has to be dealt with. Somebody doesn't get saved because they pray a prayer or because I just want to accept Jesus. It's like, what does that mean? And we're going to go over that, okay? But watch this. 4-point outline. Love. Sin and penalty is number 2. Sin and the penalty of it. 3. Christ. No, I'm going to go back over it. Christ. And number 4 is repentance. Okay? Love. Sin and penalty, number 2. Number 3, Christ. Number 4, repentance. Somebody needs to know they're loved. Now, I want you to get this, okay? There's different words for love. There's 3 basic ones. That I'm going to just tell you about today, okay? One is called agape love. That's what, when I say, I love you, when God says, I love you, this is what he means. I unconditionally love you. I love you no matter what. And I love you eternally. He says, even if you never accept me and you go to hell, he says, I am going to love you forever in Psalm 139, I believe it teaches that God goes to hell and cries over people, longing for them, because he created them for fellowship. He doesn't ever quit loving us. Have you noticed that people have a cutoff point? I know most of you don't, but a lot of people out there, they have a cutoff point. I was being facetious. Okay. You know how we all have a cutoff point? We go so far with somebody, and then it's like we got a cutoff point. You can't go beyond that. I'm done. You're done. I'm going to make you done. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking to you. I'm not having nothing to do with you. Okay, we might be married, but I'm not sleeping with you. Or I might be in the same bed, but don't you touch me. I'm sorry, I was just reality Sunday school. Okay, let's get real. God doesn't have a cutoff point. A couple of my daughters dragged me or took me yesterday to the movie God's Not Dead. Have you seen it?
Yes.
You ought to go see it.
Yes.
If you've seen it once, maybe you ought to take somebody else to see it again. And the college professor who was a proclaimed atheist, he gets hit by a car. His, what are these things called? Ribs are crushed. His lungs are filling with blood, and he's going to die, and he did. And happened to be a preacher. What an amazing thing, a mercy of God. Right there in a car when he got hit by another car and fell in the road right in front of him, the preacher jumps out, runs over to go to talk to the guy. And the guy ends up calling out to God for mercy through the blood of Jesus and is born again as he's dying. And he said, and he's like, because he's in pain, and he says, it's okay. He says, in just a few moments, you're going to know Jesus better than anybody around here. And he took his last breath, went to eternity. I've told you about people that I've led the Lord, or people that I've dealt with, or God's brought in my life, and they got saved right before they died, right as they're taking their last breath. See, God doesn't have a cutoff point. We have cutoff points. That's one kind of love. Another kind of love is what most people mean when they say, I love you. And that is a brotherly love. I love you as a brother. I love you as a sister. Of course, I don't like my brother sometimes, so I want you to know that's the kind of love I love you with, you know? If you steal my toy, I'm going to punch you in the nose, okay? But I love you. Brotherly love. I have a fond affection for you. I like you. Or I might not like you, but you're blood, so I love you, but I don't always like you. And then there's what's called eros or erotic love, and that is lust. That is, I want you, you know, where I want something, okay? And it's like it's a strong desire, a strong evil desire, usually for what's forbidden. That's erotic love, okay? What we would call pornography, okay? Most people live in phileo, or like Philadelphia is where that word comes from. Phileo, you know, Philadelphia comes from phileo, which means brotherly love or a kindness, a fondness for somebody. But God wants us to go beyond that. God wants people to know his love. So when you go to witness to somebody, they need to know that God loves them. So, can I ask you a question? Is there somebody in here you could give me a $100 bill? Paula, could you give me a $100 bill? Judy? Glenn? Reuben? You see, you can't give what you don't have. You ready? Are you ready? Wait a minute. Look. Father, I want to know you more. I want to know your agape love, your unconditional, eternal, limitless love. So I need to experience that I could give it away. Bring me, draw me closer, because I want to be able to give that away. Amen? Okay. Now he's going to start doing that in you more. People need to know their love. This is the four-point outline, okay? I just gave it to you, but I'm going to give it to you again. Love. People need to know their loved. I want you to know something. People do not... I went to a... On this trip, my wife and I just went and did our 37th anniversary. I enjoyed being with my wife. We went to a meeting, a preaching meeting thing, and we got what we needed. It wasn't what all we thought it was going to be, and that was fine. But it was, we got what God sent us there for, and it was good. And I just liked getting away. I didn't answer my phone one day until later when I had to return about, you know, 500,000 phone calls, you know what I'm saying? But it was like, I just enjoyed that, okay? We went to a restaurant. We didn't know we were going to get to spend time with our kids. We were over by our kids, but we thought we were going to be busy with the way they had the meeting set up, where we wouldn't get to see our kids very much. We ended up getting to see all of our kids but one, and it was cool, and got to spend time with them, got to go eat with them at different times. But we went one time to a restaurant and had my son-in-law, that calls me Daddy, and one of his sons, the youngest one that's 13, my wife and myself, and we're sitting in this restaurant, and the waitress comes up, and I said to her, she's like all bubbly. She's my personality. Blah, 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 yeah. And she was fun to be around. And she goes, I said, can I ask you a question? She said, yes. I said, did you personally need Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you? As soon as I said that, it was like I pulled a cork out of a bottle. Well, yes, yes, and no. I go, what? I just looked at her and go, what? She goes, the answer is yes, yes, and no. Yes, ma'am. What does that mean, you know? Well, I believe in Jesus. I'm kind of like a Christian Buddhist. I went, I'm just like, obviously the lady was confused, and God just was like, let her talk. So I just let her talk. And she's going, blah, 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 all this stuff she was saying. My 13-year-old grandson, who just got stirred up through the movie God's Not Dead, okay, stirred back up toward God. And I could see in his face and my son-in-law's face that stuff she was saying, they were like, it's not true, you know, like, no, you know. But I would just sit there and just letting her talk because God told me to. And she just went on and on and on, and all this warm, fuzzy feelings and flowers and blue skies. And I'm like, you know what I mean? I mean, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, you relate, okay? And she's doing all this, blah, 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 yeah, you know. And I don't go to church, but blah, tears and, you know, warm fuzzies and feelings. And I'm just listening. And I'm listening to everything she's saying. And I'm just like loving her, just letting God love her. And when she gets done, I said, so she's, okay, I got to go. And so she runs and goes and does her stuff, and she comes back. And I don't know exactly how it went, but I just befriended her. I said, you know, we're a lot alike, you know, personality, A-type, you know, blah, blah, blah. Never met a stranger. She goes, yeah, I know. You're like me. And so we went on, and we just kind of like hit it off. Now, my wife's sitting right here, you understand? Okay. I want you to understand, I don't want to act like this with women, you know what I'm saying, without my wife right here, okay? And, because they take it the wrong way. And then I said to her, can I ask you a question? She said, yeah. I said, I just want to restate the question I said before. Did you personally need Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you? And she goes, and it hit her. See, when I asked her the first time, it was just we got on a subject. It was like I just opened up a door for her to talk about what all she felt and believed and whatever. Here's the principle. Are you ready? People do not care what you know until they know that you care. Do you hear me? People do not care what you know. They don't need you to come and take a Bible and stick it in their nose. Here, this is what you need. Oh, bless God! That's what they call a Bible thumper, you know? You don't need to be a Harvey in the past, okay? I'm... Well, some people need that, right? I know. Okay. What I'm going to say is, people need to know that you care. And you're only going to care if you let God care for them through you, because you and I are selfish. God, I'm selfish, but I'm willing to let you love others through me. God, I'm selfish, but I'm willing to let you love others through me. But if you don't come do it, they're not going to come to you through me. You got to do it, God. So I listened to this lady. She said all her words. And I could hear all kinds of error, all kinds of stuff where she's off, and it's all just feeling. And it's like, what are you basing this on, you know? But see, people have to, everybody has a belief system. And it's how they get through life, how they can live with themselves, how they can deal with all the things that are happening in life, and how they explain it in their head. But they don't have a foundation that's true, a lot of them. Do you understand? First thing they need to know, because have you been hurt? Well, guess what? Everybody out there has been hurt. They've been lied to, abused, used, beat up, verbally abused, the look, you know, they don't fit in the clique. Every single person. So when you say God loves you, yeah, but what does that mean? My mom says she loves me and she slaps me. My mom says she loves me and she doesn't listen to me when I have problems. She screams at me. What? Okay, that's what I thought with my mom. You love me, but it's like, I know you love me, but okay. Because my mom didn't know how to deal with stuff, so she didn't teach me how to deal with stuff. That's why I got into drugs. Not blaming them. I'm just trying to say it's a natural thing. Nuts don't fall too far from the tree. Everybody's been hurt. So when you say God loves you, they don't need just those words. Yeah, yeah, I know God loves me. It doesn't mean anything to them. God loves you unconditionally. He loves you no matter what. He loves you when you're not even thinking about him. You know how much he loves you? He sent me into your life because he cares about you. You're not looking for him, but he's looking for you. And he loves you eternally. He'll never quit loving you. It doesn't matter if you say, I don't ever want anything to do with you. It's like, can't help it. I am love, so I can't help but love you. See? God, you understand? So when you say something like that, it's like it arrests them. It captures them. They've never experienced it. But they're hoping down inside, because God put that down inside of us, that it's true. Now, always make sure, please, I am not the example of Christ. Here's the saying. I am not the example of Christ. I'm the example of the rotten sinner that needs Jesus 24 hours a day. Amen. If you expect me to be better than you, I promise I'll let you down. I just love Jesus. And he keeps loving me even when I'm not lovable. Even when I'm not loving or lovely. He loves me. He never gives up on me. That's why I love him so much. Do you know him that way? Share that. People need to know that they're loved. So we had a 3-point outline. We had a 4-point outline. Now let's do the 5-point outline. Okay? 5-point outline. They're 3 words each. You ready? Realize your condition. Point 2. Admit your inability. 3. Realize God's solution. In parentheses, put DBR. DBR means death, burial, resurrection. DBR. Okay? I'm going to go back over it, but let me just do it this way. Point number 4. Admit Christ, or admit his ability. Admit Christ or Jesus' ability. And then point number 5. Choose to depend. Here we go. We're going to do it again. Realize your condition. Admit your inability. Realize God's solution. Death, burial, resurrection. Admit his ability. He got up from the dead. What couldn't he do? I'm sorry? I don't know anybody else got up from the dead. He can do anything. And then choose to depend. Depend on Jesus. Realize your condition. I'm a sinner. Even when I try to straighten up, I'm a sinner. Even when I'm doing right, often it's with the wrong attitude or the wrong motive. I'm doing it to be seen. I'm trying to earn my way to God. I'm trying to earn brownie points with God. Well, look what I did for you, God. Realize your condition. Admit your inability. You can't save yourself. You can't change yourself. You need help. Realize God's solution to your problem. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. That is always the answer. The cross. It's always the answer. There's the power. There's the love. There's the blood for forgiveness. There's everything you need. The cross. Realize God's solution. Admit His ability. You know, Jesus, you got it from the dead. I think this rent that's overdue, I think you could handle it. What's the baby steps, Lord? Well, Harv, why don't you go get a job? You know, why didn't I think of that? I mean, I'm serious. We're like, okay, here's how dumb I was when I met Jesus, okay? We're driving a truck, and we buried it in the sand. So this friend of mine who was into Eastern religion, he stood over on the side and was going to think it out. Here's Harvey over on the side. He's going to pray it out. And here's Sue. She walks up the road and flags the car down to come pull it out. Okay? What I'm saying is we got to stop and ask God, what's the next step? Instead of telling God what to do.
Right.
Dear Holy Spirit, here's what I want you to do. Dear Holy Spirit, lead me to people today that you've been dealing with that are ready to hear. Then prepare my heart so that you could love and flow through me. And then link us up together, me with that person. And I choose to let you say and do what you want through me today. Amen? What do you think? All I know is it works. I'm telling you. It's what God taught me to do, right? We do this. We get in the car. Okay, dear Holy Spirit, lead me to people that you're dealing with, people that are ready to hear. Prepare my heart so you can flow through me. Now, link us up. Now, what do you want me to do? He says, start driving. I just start driving my car down the road. I'm telling you the truth. We did this so many times. Drive my car down the road, Sue and I, or whoever my partner was. And he'd say, turn down this road. I'd turn down that road. He'd say, turn down this road. And I'd turn down that road. And then he'd say, see that house? Stop and start talking there. I'd go up and knock on the door. Hi, God sent me here. We're here to talk to people about Jesus. Really? You know, they just start crying. I mean, all you say is, you know, I came here to talk to you about Jesus. They start crying. Or they get mad. I don't want to hear. And say, you must be hurting. You know. Can I pray for you? Everybody needs Jesus. For crying out loud. It's that simple. Jesus. I'm talking to a lady. She says, you know, I don't know if I could get that caulk off that tub. You know, I'm booking a job. I don't know if I can do that because it's hard for me. You know, I had hip replacement or knee surgery or whatever she said. I don't remember. Some lady just said this. And I said, let's pretend we're friends for a minute. I said, can we be friends for a minute? She goes, okay. I said, Father, I'm going to lift up Marilyn or whatever her name was. She just starts crying. All I'm doing is praying for her because I was listening. She has a need. Do you know somebody that's a need meter? His name is Jesus. All you got to do is get him to Jesus. I'm witnessing. A lady called me on my anniversary. I get you know, all these messages. Well, I write this number down. I call the lady. She didn't even tell me her name. She goes, Harvey, is this you? I go, yeah. She said, I talked to you a couple of weeks ago about doing my tub. I go, yeah. And normally when they say that, they want to book the job. She said, well, I'm not ready to book yet, but I'm going to do the tub. But I just realized today is Good Friday, and I was thinking about you because we talked a couple of weeks ago. Well, God must have got loose on the phone, you know. And she said, I just wanted to call and say, I want you to have a happy Easter. That's all she said. She didn't book a job, nothing. It's because God got loose. God is in you. Is God in you? Just let him get loose. Thank you, Jesus. We just want to witness what you have done for us. Declare, tell what good things you've done for us. Help us to listen. And when we hear the need in others or hear your prompting in our heart, we would allow you to pray through us, speak through us. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, by the way, I want to go back to that story in the restaurant. So I tell Miss A personality, I said that question again. I said, did you personally? I said, I want to ask you this question again. Because she didn't hear it the first time. It just was an opportunity to pull the cork out of the bottle and for her to vent, which is what she did. So after she vented and we kind of hit it off, and then I said, can I ask you that question I asked you earlier? Did you personally need Jesus to die on the cross for you? And she goes, wow, I've never thought of that. I gotta go. So she goes and does her work. My son, my grandson, he's like, okay. He said, when's he going to answer that question, Grandpa? When's he going to answer that question? I said, we can't ask her anymore. No, you got to talk to her. You know, she needs to pray and ask Jesus in her heart. I said, no, she's not ready for that. I said, I gave her one thought, and until she deals with that thought, we can't go forward. He's never seen that before. His eyes were about this big, and he said to me, this is my 13-year-old. You know, teenagers can't do nothing with them. This is my 13-year-old, and he says to me, Grandpa, how did you get saved? Because I had said a little bit about it to her. Can you tell me how you got saved? My wife said that was the highlight of our trip. Him sitting on the edge of his seat with his eyes this big, just hanging on every word of how did Grandpa get saved. I'm just telling you, folks, you don't got to, Rome wasn't built in a day. You don't got to cram it all down their throat in one time. You ask them one question, we deal with that. When that's clear, we can move to the next one. But until that's clear, we don't need to go. That's why when you do this like three-point outline, sin, self, Savior, we deal with sin. If they're not, we haven't got that settled yet. There's no use to go into the self part. If they think they're not a sinner, I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. I build hospitals and I help little old ladies cross the street and, you know, I walk my mom's chihuahua and whatever. They haven't got it yet. Just love them. That's fine. And it's not your job. You don't need to persuade them. You're a Johnny Appleseed in the kingdom of God. All you're doing is planting a seed thought. And what are you going to do with that? And folks, witnessing is so easy. All you got to do is tell them what God did for you. Did God save you? Does God love you? Does God love you when you're not lovely or lovable or you're mean? And he still loves you, doesn't he? And every time you turn back to him, God, and you're thinking he's going to be mean or something, he's so kind. Yes, Larry, yes. I'm so glad you're right here. It's like, you're like, because he's so kind. Let's give away Jesus. Amen.